Hi everyone, this is Elaine. Welcome to Aging into Joy. Also, I sometimes call it Adventures in Aging. The point is always to experience joy, no matter how old we are or no matter what's going on in our life. So that's always my theme, and the various adventures I go on is really to discover the many ways I can be myself and be in joy. So today I want to talk about stuckness. In my own life and also in my work counseling people, I often hear, I feel stuck. I don't know what to do because I don't feel like I have any choices. And there's a whole variety of reasons why people stay in the place of feeling they can't maneuver, that their life is defined by the circumstances they're in, and they can't change those circumstances. What we can change is how we look at things, how we experience things, how we interpret things. All these ways of dealing with stuckness belong to us. They are our internal spirit, our internal soul. And there's always a way to move beyond feeling stuck, even if we can't change the circumstances in our environment. It is important for us to evaluate in our lives if we still cope the way we did growing up. So, for instance, if I was shy and withdrawn when I sensed conflict occurring or about to occur, am I still being shy and withdrawn in the face of conflict, or can I deal with it more directly now? If I was a bully, am I still a bully? If I was somebody who always would help other people, always, to a fault, but did not help myself because I was too busy being there for other people, what price did I pay for that? And am I still being a rescuer? You know, it's easy to stay in that slot because people will compliment you all the time. You know, you're so helpful. You're always there for me. You know, I don't know what I would do without you. It's amazing how you can multitask. So those are things that stroke, or words, excuse me, that stroke our ego. And so we stay in that place when it is really a disservice to growing ourselves. Because I'm so outer directed, there is no space and there is no time that I make to reflect on myself, to explore who I am, to seek my truth, and to develop and grow, and to know freedom, the freedom to choose how I want to be in the world, even if life is being difficult at a given point. One of the things, as I walked out into the desert, I went back to Santa Cruz Lake on this fourth day of my third adventure because there was something about being around the water in the desert that was fascinating to me. But unlike my previous day, I didn't sit by the water. I went up on a mesa top where I had a 360-degree view of the desert around me. And it humbled me. And it made me feel small in a good way. Like, humility is a great way to begin to get past your fear of truly seeing yourself. Why would I even think I could be perfect? Why would I even decide I want to be the very best at whatever. If I am the very best because that's what my work and effort and knowledge have taken me to, that's fine. But if that's what I have to be all the time, I'm going to lose myself. And that's a high price to pay, because everything will be around how I'm judged. Competition breeds judgment. So I found a great place with a juniper tree throwing some shade. And I put my blanket down in the shade and looked for some rocks to make my spiral. As you know, I really love to do a spiral because it allows me to remind myself that life is not linear. It's just not forward progress. There are many obstacles that come into our life that may cause us to go backwards for a time. Or maybe there's ignorance on our part that causes us to not have all the information to be successful doing something. Or maybe I'm making poor decisions because I don't have all the information and I haven't asked good questions. So the spiral is the truth of life. It's forward and backward. And when I go backward, hopefully I'm going deeper to a place that I've already visited, that I can see that I'm stubborn. Okay, I'm stubborn. But now, having gone back to it, I see I'm stubborn because if I'm not, I feel powerless. I don't feel like I can influence anybody. And I'm tired of people telling me how to do and what to do. So every time I go backwards in life, it's a blessing if you're willing to go deeper in understanding yourself. It's not a fault. It's not something wrong with you. It's not that you're not good enough. It's a natural way of being in the world, okay? So one of the goals, the best way I can say this, is to figure out how to create a bridge from the one side of the river, the shore that I've been on all my life, and the area and the people that I've known for so long and has bred so much familiarity for me, and build a bridge to the other side so I can explore that shore, so that I can add some new parts to my life, so I can be curious, so I can make choices, so I can go from feeling safe and comfortable to the point that I'm no longer growing, to taking some risks, crossing over this imaginary bridge, and seeing something different, something that's different from what I'm used to. Perhaps even deciding it's time for me to make some changes. I was talking to somebody yesterday who was telling me how long it takes for them to decide to change jobs, that sometimes it takes several years when they could have done it much earlier, and they were frustrated with themselves because they couldn't figure out, even though they knew they didn't want to stay in the same job, they didn't make any effort to find a new one. And that's a form of stuckness. So one thing I'd like you to ask yourself is, do I feel stuck in any part of my life? If I don't, be grateful for that. If you do, then ask yourself, what's the benefit of staying stuck? What are you getting from being stuck that you would have to give up if you were able to release that stuckness? Okay, sometimes we get so very comfortable in the familiar that the risk of entering into unfamiliar experiences is too much, because perhaps I won't be good enough with something that's unfamiliar to me. Perhaps I don't want another learning curve. I've had enough in my life. Perhaps I don't have to wrestle with my fear and anxiety. The cost to me is I'm not growing, but the benefit is I'm not feeling any fear or anxiety about change. But the next question I'd like you to ask yourself is, are you willing to pay that price of no growth? Okay? It's a big price. So one of the things that happens when we're defensive is we can become a bully, we can become a rescuer, constantly helping people, or we can become a victim, where we feel like if I didn't have bad luck, I'd have no luck. Okay, those all emerge from an unhealthy ego. But there's a way to engage with your ego in a healthy way, and that's to be able to see through your fears. I know, having done the work on the land during this adventure in New Mexico and also in previous adventures I have offered to myself, I know that shame had a big role in my life. And in the last 20 years, I've worked very hard to limit its influence on me. But I grew up in a family where shame and guilt got kids to respond the way our parents wanted us to respond. But that shame and guilt wasn't just there for a moment. And I don't think our parents thought about that. It stayed with us. It imprinted itself in our nervous system. So when we feel embarrassed, we feel that old shame. When somebody says something that we're defensive or sensitive about, that the first thing we want to say, that's not true. But then if we pull back and take a moment, we might say, maybe it is. But why is it so hard for me to look at that? Okay, because we've created our own image of ourselves that's not necessarily based in truth. It's based in image, portraying ourselves a certain way to people. And when we do that, we're kind of stuck with that image, because if we change it, people will want to know what's happening. What's happened to Elaine? She's not who she was. So there's only really one authentic road or pathway, and that's to seek knowledge of who you are, who you'd like to be, and what you'd like to experience in life. It doesn't take away anything from other people. It just inserts you into the community of life. It gives you a place on the web of life. When I would feel ashamed because of something either my mom usually said, or because in my teen years I had terrible acne and eczema, and I felt very self-conscious. And that's exactly where shame takes you. You're self-conscious because you're wondering, are people noticing these awful things about my skin? Okay, and so when I'm self-conscious, I react to it in a way that I may separate myself from other people, may avoid them, I may withdraw, I may not have connections that are meaningful because they might criticize me, or they may judge me, or they may say something that I'm afraid to hear. Fear is very crippling in those kinds of ways. When I would become self-conscious, I would also become doubtful. I would be confused. I was unable to make a decision because my anxiety of running into my fears of being seen for who I'm not, and or for my foibles and flaws. And so when you spend a lifetime fearing those things and you don't stop anywhere along the path and say, do I need a new coping style here? Is avoidance or withdrawal working for me anymore? And you can kind of praise yourself for having discovered that as an option to cope with your life when you were younger. But it usually doesn't work for us well into our adulthood. But we don't stop and say, is this how I want to be? Is this how I want to respond? Is this going to help me grow as a person, to evolve, to be in self-discovery? So we do have to take a moment, and I encourage you, whether you have done it already or if you haven't done it, to find 15, 30 minutes of quiet, silent space and just ask yourself, do you know yourself? Do you have a good relationship with yourself? The cost for me around shame was it led to self-consciousness. It led to doubt, self-doubt. And my pulling back from my community of peers and family members was basically I was lonely. I was feeling safer, but I was lonely. So the question becomes, when I feel stuck like that, how can I be safe without being lonely? Can I find a new way of coping with my fears? Better than that, can I actually name my fear and wrestle with it? Is having that fear so bad that it cripples me? It has power over me? And then if it does, or I think it does, then I have to hide it because I don't want anybody to see how fearful I am. So you can see that this causes us to constrict our life, to pull in, to not be out there and exploring and taking some cautious risks in life, inviting yourself to experience change, exploring paths that you've never known even existed, let alone ever been on. You want to go from constriction to expansion. And in that process, you'll find your freedom to be who you are. And that's the bridge that connects one shore to the other side of the river, to that new shore. That will only add to us if we can find the courage, the clarity, the curiosity, and the willingness to see ourselves without trying to be defensive or trying to distort or distract ourselves. We're good enough. We are a soul that happens to be in a body. We are not primarily a body. And that's why this part of us is temporal. It's not going to last. But our soul can go on in its wisdom. And that's the part of us we want to express in our lives. So that's what I came up with going over to Santa Cruz Lake and sitting by the juniper tree, looking at my rocks. And I had decided at that point, sorry about that, but as I said on my very first podcast, if the phone rings, I'm not going to start over again. But anyhow, after reflecting on the feelings or emotions that kind of followed me from childhood through a significant part of my adult life, I decided I would do a small ritual and bury them through metaphor. And so I took four rocks from my spiral, and I named one of them shame, another one self-consciousness, another one self-doubt, and another one loneliness. And I made a hole for the first one, shame. I held it in my hand and felt its warmth. And I imagined projecting all that dark shadow energy of shame onto this rock. And I put it in the hole and I covered it with sand. And having buried it, it just spoke to me. It gave me really goosebumps. So I knew I was really invested in this act of letting go. And I did the same with the others. And when I was finished, I was so much lighter. I had not criticized myself. I had embraced myself. And that's what I recommend that you do. So thank you for listening today. And I'll be back in a couple weeks. I look forward to hearing from you. Have a great day. Have a great week. Take good care.